I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News Time now, 8:30.
It's 34 degrees.
I-15, still a little sluggish middle part of the Salt Lake Valley. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
KSL's top story this hour.
Utah's Olympic delegation is scheduled to meet with the International Olympic Committee later this morning.
This after an in-person meeting in Europe was canceled due to COVID-19. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt has more.
Some new Olympic buzz this morning. The Salt Lake, Utah Committee for the Games meets with officials from the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee and the International Committee this morning via Zoom call. They were all supposed to meet up in Switzerland to talk more about the new, less formal bid process, but the Omicron COVID variant put a quick end to that. It's still unclear if Utah will host its second Olympic Winter Games in 2030 or 2034, but our folks will be giving an update on how the state's getting ready to have either. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
The Biden administration is expected to announce this week that no U.S. government officials will attend the 2022 Beijing Olympics, implementing a diplomatic boycott. China is already threatening to take what they call firm countermeasures if the U.S. proceeds with the diplomatic boycott. China's foreign ministry spokesperson this morning accused the U.S. of grandstanding. He says a boycott would be an outright political provocation, but gave no details on how China might retaliate.
Utah distributed around 39% of the federal emergency rental assistance it received to help renters in the state. KSL News Radio's Jacob Rueda has more.
The Salt Lake Tribune says the state of Utah has to explain why it dispersed only 39% of rental assistance funds to renters in the state. Utah had a fall deadline set by the Department of the Treasury to distribute the emergency funds. The Department of Workforce Services said it was no longer working with rental assistance advocates, but with landlords on their applications. However, the Tribune says that Utah had paid over 7,000 landlord-submitted applications and over 13,000 renter-submitted applications. Tim Funk, who is an affordable housing advocate with the Crossroads Urban Center, tells the Tribune that he is worried that the state favors landlords over renters. Jacob Rueda, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. The White House is preparing for a high-stakes call between the president and his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, on Tuesday. Andrew Weiss follows Russian politics for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and says the U.S. is threatening economic sanctions.
Taking Russian oil and gas off global markets would create unpredictable consequences for the U.S. and global economy, both in the form of higher prices and in terms of slowing economic growth.
Russia has been placing a large number of troops on the border with Ukraine that looks similar to the situation in 2014 when Russia invaded and then annexed the Ukrainian territory of Crimea.
The investigation into the Michigan school shooting continues this morning, with school officials explaining their decision to send the suspected shooter back to class after finding a violent drawing on his desk.
The superintendent said the teen claimed the drawing was part of a video game he was designing. The superintendent also saying the teen stayed with counselors for more than an hour, and at no time did counselors believe the student might harm others based on his behavior, responses, and demeanor, which appeared calm.
ABC's Laika Jachi reporting.
Scientists hope to know more soon about the Omicron variant, including its transmissibility and severity. ABC's M. Nguyen has the latest now on what studies have shown so far.
A new preliminary study suggests Omicron may have borrowed genetic material from the common cold, making it more infectious. And though it may be more transmissible, reports in South Africa where Omicron emerged indicate hospitalization rates have not increased alarmingly. But top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci warns they still need more information.
As of this morning, 17 states have reported cases of the Omicron variant, including Utah.
Hey, so weather now with Grant Wayman. It's been weeks since we've had a significant storm here along the Wasatch Front, but that is about to change.
Today, a storm will deliver both rain and snow showers in the afternoon, minimal road accumulation, but then a bigger storm looks like it arrives on Thursday, and this one brings in some colder air. So Thursday and Friday, we expect more snow. I think we'll get more accumulation out of Thursday, Friday storm, and colder air to follow. So finally, going to be looking and feeling like some winter weather here, especially toward the end of the week.
Grant says Thursday's storm is going to drop temperatures significantly. He doesn't think valley temperatures will get above freezing on Friday.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.